Do you have your Bibles to Matthew 6? I wanted to pray first tonight. Study tonight, because the subject is going to lead us into some of the things maybe that you're going to pray. As we continue our series on questions that Jesus asked, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 24 to 27. Matthew 6, 24, and we're going to read to 27. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you," here's what he says, "if this is a commandment, follow it. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Specifically, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Then Jesus says, he asks the rhetorical, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Then he says, "For example, let me show you." He says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet," here's the subject, "your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" What's our response? Yes, we are. So, Jesus is saying again, then which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? It's a fascinating question Jesus gives us here tonight in our text. Jesus is not, and I see this, people go, "Oh, well, that means I'm to be happy-go-lucky. Yeah, oh, praise the Lord, I broke my leg. Oh, awesome, my car just collapsed and it's in a heap. And oh, praise the Lord, I've lost my job. Isn't that fantastic?" No. Jesus is not telling us to be happy-go-lucky in the way we live. That's foolish. People often misjudge what Jesus is saying in this question to us tonight. The question, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He says, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought," it's to do with our mind, "for the morrow. For the morrow," or tomorrow, "shall take thought for things, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Jesus was not forbidding us to look ahead. Some people go, "Well, see, we don't have to plan ahead. We just live for today. Don't worry about savings. Don't worry about planning. None of that. That's just dumb." Jesus said, didn't he say, "Look, just take no thought for tomorrow. Just do it today. Tomorrow will look after itself." That's foolish. That's not what the Bible says. That's being a dimwit. Jesus looked ahead. Very much so. For the Bible tells us clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and I'll read it to you. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He went through what he did because he knew the plan was what was going to happen down ahead for you and I. Jesus is not warning us here against the thought out life, planning, preparing. He's not saying that. What then is Jesus warning us of? He is warning us against our taking anxious thought for tomorrow. I'm going to say that again. He is warning against our taking anxious thought for tomorrow. And we'll unload that. Jesus wants us to face the future with an attitude of faith. Why? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. He wants us to face the future with an attitude of faith instead of fear. How many people do you know today? It's tomorrow's just full of fears. I fear about losing my job. I fear the boss is going to say to me. I fear what's going to happen to my car. I fear what the doctor may say when he tells me this. I fear this. I fear that. And so they're just loaded with all this. Oh, well, that's what I was expecting. It was one of the four million things that I was scared of. So Jesus says, which of you? It's a question. By taking thought or being anxious, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? So why do we need such a question like this? Why did Jesus ask this in the first place? Pretty simple. When Jesus said, fear not, why did he say that? Because people were scared. When Jesus says, do not worry, why does he say it? Because we worry. Because many of us are worried. And I want you to listen really carefully. Worry is not a child of circumstances. In other words, because of the circumstances that I'm going through, now it's caused me to worry. Hang on there. You see, whether you worry or not depends not upon your situation, but upon you. Doesn't depend on your situation. Whether you worry or not depends upon you. Sadly, many, many people are worried today, including some Christians. I hear it all the time. People worry about a multitude of things. People worry about getting married, don't they? Single people worry about getting married. Then people, once they're married, they're worrying about being married. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. You know, people worry at the worst possible times. What we should do now in this catastrophe, we should all just worry. That helps. Secondly, Jesus warns us about worry. Why? Because worry is so useless. He's against it. He commands us not to do it. This is the very heart of what Jesus is warning us about. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? He says, if you're not as tall as you wished you were, and I'm thankful that I'm 6'4", so I don't ever, this doesn't come across my mind, it's not affecting me. He says, if you're not as tall as you wished you were, you'll not grow any taller by merely worrying about it. We do a lot of useless things, all of us. But nobody, including you and I, did anything more useless than to worry. Never gets us anywhere. It's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do without getting anywhere. It never gets us anywhere. It never lifted a single load. Oh, now that I've worried, oh, I feel so much better about that now. It never solved a single problem. Oh, so that's, you know, now I'm going to worry about losing my job. That'll make sure I won't lose my job. It never rubbed out a single wrinkle. In matter of fact, it's rubbed in millions of them. It has been said that there are two classes of things we should not worry about. A, we ought not to worry about those things that we cannot help. You might object to the law of gravity. I don't like the law of gravity. I think it's a stupid, dumb law. But it's unwise to argue with it or to live your life as if it doesn't exist. That's just stupid. A second class of things that we ought not to worry about are those things that we can help. Instead of worrying about them, we ought to be busy helping that we shall not have time to worry. It's like the guy who said to the pastor in the church, lady in my street, she comes to this church, her car's broken down. You know what? I worry about her not being able to get to church. And the pastor said, so she lives in your street, just up the road. You come to this church. He says, I worry that she can't get here sometimes. He said, you pick her up. It was the end, so there's something that we can do. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, I've done this, and realized there was a blanket at the end of the bed, you're freezing, and instead of getting up and grabbing the blanket, you lay there for the rest of the night going, man, I'm cold, I'm cold. You've got 14 doonas stacked up in the shelf. your blankets at the end of the bed, but you don't go, oh, I'll fix that, just grab that and pull it over me. No, I stay there and go, man, I'm worried about freezing tonight. Worry, thirdly, is so harmful that Jesus warned us directly about it. It's harmful to the one who worries. Worry is the ugly sin of many a disease that makes us face toward the cemetery. But not only does worry hurt the one who worries, it makes such a one hard to live with. How? How many a cheerful person going to work or going to somewhere and you run into that person who worries? And they unload all their worry. You know, I'm worried about my son. He's just done this. I'm worried about if the boss comes. I'm worried if we're having a meeting this afternoon. I worry about what he's going to say to me. And they spill out their worries upon you. And then you go, gee, I was pretty chirpy before I got here. But now I don't know, I'm worried about what's all the things are going to happen. When you worry, listen, you are a burden to yourself and to others. But above all else, the bottom line, those who worry are a disappointment to our Lord. Those who worry are a disappointment to our Lord. It is us saying to our Lord when we worry, I don't trust you in this area. I don't think you're going to come through. I think you're not going to look after us in this space. I don't think you can manage this. So how do we get rid of worry? We need first to understand that worry, listen, is an acquirement. Nobody was ever born worried. I would like to question my grandchildren, especially 3- and 4-year-olds, and go, tell me, sit down for a minute. What are the big worries you're going through at the moment? You're concerned about preschool, what time you get there, and you know what size dress you got to wear, and the shoes you got to wear. What? Tell me the worries that you're going through. You know, are you worried about like if, when you get home from school that there's no dinner on the table, that you know that you don't have a house, mum and dad are going to lock the door on you when you come home? Worry is an acquirement. Nobody was ever born worried. Baby comes out. Oh, man, I'm really worried. What's the next thing that's going to happen to me? Especially, I guess they'll stick a needle in my foot, won't they? I remember saying Matthew Pavlich, number 29 from a football club, for those who don't know. And we were talking about skill, and I said to him, about his career, and I said, well, man, you got pretty good genetics. He says, he was quite taken aback. He says, it's got nothing to do with genetics. I've trained harder than anybody else. To be a skilled musician or AFL champion, it is not because you are born that way. Oh, yeah, I got the talent. Nah, it doesn't work that way. It is rather because you have practiced and practiced and practiced. I forget how old B.B. King was when he died, but right up to the weeks before he died, he still practiced playing the guitar every day. Practiced. If you're good at worrying, it is the case you have practiced and practiced and practiced. Worry is an achievement for you. You're a good worrier. So anything we have learnt, and worry is what we learn, we can unlearn. Each of us are gifted with a conscience. If we are to have peace, we must give ear to that inner voice. We can never find peace until we stop fighting with God and our own conscience. Paul told us how to think right in a manner that removes and disallows worry in our lives. He writes it down, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is where your mind's got to be, on those things. Paul is not telling us to be Pollyannas, to always look on the bright side. No, he is telling us to conquer worry. We must give attention to the beautiful as well as the ugly. If you focus, I remember coming home from work one day and the building had started on here. I thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? You know, we're talking, you know, that bulldozer bulldozed the ground here, and I'm driving home. Then I'm listening to the police radio. There's a fight in Port Kennedy. This is happening. There's another fatal accident, all on the radio. And then I'm worrying about the building and how we're going to pay for this and everything. And I went, I'm an idiot. I turned the police radio off. That stopped me hearing, because it just sounds like we're living in LA somewhere. Nice place, LA, by the way. And everything was going off. If you just connect what you hear about, like if you just watch the news at times, you think, gee, what sort of world do we live in? And then the other thing was, God had guided us into this facility. He was going to have to sort it out. My worry wasn't, oh, gee, that's really made a big difference. No, I was just being a fool. You see, I needed to focus on the good things. Finally, the supreme antidote against worry is faith in God. Jesus reminds us, and he says it, of the same fatherly God who looks after the needs of the birds can be trusted to supply our needs. I've never seen a little bird picketing out the front of our place. We need more seed. More seed. What about the birds? Bring out, you know. I've never seen a dog going, hey, what about the poor dogs? More bones for the dogs. More bones for the dogs. What's going on? They're not into it. They don't worry. Peter says we're to cast our cares upon him in the knowledge that he cares for us. We are to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Above all else, and this is where we're heading right now as we close this, we are to make a habit of prayer. What does that mean? Paul shared with us the mind of Jesus Christ, his attitude, when he said, be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? That means don't worry about anything. But he said, in everything. How? By prayer, this is how it works, and supplication with thanksgiving, because you're not worried about it, because you know God's going to come through, I'll give him the situation. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, means you're not worrying, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a story of a pilot. He was flying around the world in a beautiful plane. He landed, got supplies. He's ready to fly off on the next part of his long leg of his solo flight. And he hears a in the back of the plane. And he's gone, a rat has got in the plane. If that rat eats through the wires, I'm done for. So he's trying to work out. He can't go back and chase a rat. I mean, how can you chase a rat around the plane anyway? So he went, I know what I'll do. And he went higher and higher and higher above the area where you need oxygen. And then when he landed at the next stop, sure enough, in the back of the plane was one dead rat. Worry is a rodent. It cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in an atmosphere made alive by prayer. Won't stay there. Can't. Therefore, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.